B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Michael Anthony, formerly from Van Halen, of course, now with The Circle, with Sammy Hagar, Vic Johnson, and Jason Bonham is my guest today on Talkin' Rock. Him and Sammy go way back. They're really good friends.
I mean, we're such good friends now, as we call each other all the time and exchange food recipes and stuff now.
We talk about The Circle's latest record, Lockdown 2020, and of course we talk about the late, great Eddie Van Halen. What was his relationship like with the legend the past few years?
You know what? We actually hadn't spoken, and unfortunately we didn't get a chance to.
He had some comments about David Lee Roth. I also asked him about the first time he ever saw Eddie play live.
Who Live in Leeds or whatever, or any of the classic Cream stuff they played, Eddie played the Leeds stuff,
The legendary Michael Anthony is my guest today on Talkin' Rock, plus a classic Ozzy interview. We'll tell you about that coming up.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Welcome to 2020, friends. Meltdown back here for the first installment of Talkin' Rock with Meltdown for the new year. And man, we're going to kick it off with a bang with the legendary Michael Anthony. We'll get into that here coming up in just a few minutes. And if you're anywhere in Detroit or the Southeast Michigan area, you know that the radio station WRIF that I work for is turning 50 next month. And so I've been going through some classic interviews, and I may sprinkle these in throughout the year here on the Talkin' Rock podcast. But today I'm going to play an interview I did with Ozzy from 1999. That's when Black Sabbath got back together. They put out this live record and stuff, and it's interesting to listen to what Ozzy talks about as far as that. This is before the Osbournes. This is before anything in the 2000s. So this interview, I think, is, like I said, 20, 21 years old, and it's really interesting to hear. So we'll play that after Michael Anthony. But first, let's get into that. Of course, the new record, Lockdown 2020, is out as I record this on January 8th. With Sammy Hagar, Vic Johnson, Michael Anthony, and of course Jason Bonham. A lot of covers, AC/DC, David Bowie, even Bob Marley in there as well. And it's just a thing they did during the lockdown here. Just these sessions, they just cranked them out. Let's talk with Michael Anthony about that here on Talkin' Rock as we kick off 2021.
Meltdown, what's up?
I'm just hanging here in Detroit, just trying to get through this like everybody else. And I was thinking about this. You've probably never recorded a record in your 40-plus years career like this, have you?
No, never. Never recorded an album like this, never jammed with a band like this or anything. And it was very different than anything that we had all ever done. But it was actually kind of cool because the way this thing turned out is we were doing these songs. I mean, we got everything on this Lockdown Session album from Bob Marley to AC/DC. So we kind of were able to stretch out and actually play a lot of stuff that we normally wouldn't play.
Now, you've known Sammy for a long time. So did any of the songs, were you surprised at how well he pulled off some of the songs with knowing his voice and whatnot?
There were a couple of them. And actually, one of them was the last song, Heroes, because that's definitely not the way he sings. And it really blew my mind how well that song came out.
Yeah, and here on, it's David Bowie's birthday today, too.
Yes, it is David Bowie's birthday.
Yeah, so what's your favorite song off this record as far as covers go?
I think as far as a bass player and having the most fun doing, probably Won't Get Fooled Again, because obviously John Entwistle, being the bass player he was a big influence, and loved listening to him growing up. So I'd say it'd be that song, but I like them all. They're all different. I mean, you could name, like, Right Now. The Van Halen song, we did a very different version of that, which I thought was very cool. So I think each one's got a happening thing going.
Yeah, how much do you miss the stage and the live experience?
You know what? That question would probably be better to ask my wife. How much does she miss me being gone playing? You know what? I miss it. As fun as these things we've been doing, it's we've played a couple of times together as a band since this whole thing began, but man, I miss playing on the stage. That's where it's all at.
Yeah, I've talked to Sammy about this before. You and Sammy are just such good friends. Talk about your friendship with the Red Rocker.
Well, I mean, I've known the guy ever since he joined the band, back in the mid '80s, and I mean, we're such good friends now, as we call each other all the time and exchange food recipes and stuff now. we're like an old married couple now, But somebody who's as upbeat and as Sammy is, it's just I love being around a guy because it's always we're always so positive when we're together. Even through all this that's been going on, we try to turn it into a positive thing with these lockdown things that we were doing for the fans. You know, we're always trying to keep it positive.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to interview and meet Sammy a bunch of times, and he's one of the nicest guys in his business. And he's one of these guys that just, like, he just wants to go up and play. I mean, he told me 20 years ago he could be done with all this and just live off Van Halen money, but he just loves to play and loves to be with the fans and loves to hang out with you guys.
Really? Man, I guess we were paying him too much. Jeez.
Maybe I shouldn't have told him that.
Well, we've done, you know, after so long, I mean, we've attained so, enough success where, like you said, where we don't have to do this. And that's where, then for some reason, you know, it becomes way more fun again because you're doing it for the love of the music, you know. Not just to pay the bills and put the food on the table, but, you know, we've always had a lot of fun doing this. And like you said, we've been great friends. And you can't ask for a better guy to play in a band with, you know.
Well, Lockdown 2020 is out right now with you and Sammy and Vic and, of course, Jason Bonham as well. And, of course, I got to ask you about the passing of Eddie Van Halen. You know, I mean, obviously, condolences to you and everybody. I talked to Wolfgang last month and whatnot. What was your relationship like with Eddie for the last few years?
You know what? We actually hadn't spoken, and unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to. And you know, it kind of bothers me because we had some issues that were never resolved. But I mean, what can you do? You know, it was on the track of a reunion, which I'm really sad that it never happened. But you know, life and the show goes on. You know.
Yeah, that's too bad. Do you remember the last time you played on stage with Eddie? When was that?
The last time we actually played on stage together was in 2004 when we did the reunion tour with Sammy.
Wow, 16 years ago, or almost 17 years now, yeah.
That was the last time that we all played together on stage.
Yeah, I talked to Wolfgang about this. I mentioned something to David in September of 2019 about being bummed out that he couldn't tour with Van Halen. He kind of I don't even know if you can even answer his question or comment on this, but he kind of said that, well, Van Halen, as you know it, is finished. Those are the exact words he gave me. And he said Eddie had his own story to tell, and it wasn't his to tell it. So I guess that maybe they knew things that long before we found out about Eddie's serious illness.
Oh, that Dave said?
Yeah, Dave said that, yeah.
You know, you'd have to really know Dave to kind of understand a comment like that he would make, you know. And you never know, and I mean, this would only be my take on it, that you never that maybe he's thinking that he's the guy you got to come and see play now because, you know, he's waving the Van Halen flag now, which, you know, obviously Sammy and I will be out there playing Van Halen songs as long as we can. But, you know, Eddie was very private about how ill he was. We all knew that he was kind of ill, or that he was ill. But it was a real shock to all of us.
Yeah, I happened to watch the documentary the other night that I think came out in 2003 about the birth of Van Halen and stuff. And it was really interesting to watch how everything started out in California. And you were actually in a different band, and I believe the bass player originally was Mark Stone. Is that right?
Yeah, he was their original bass player.
And so you were actually in a different band. And refresh my memory, how did you end up in Van Halen?
Well, I was going to a junior college out here in California, in Pasadena, and I knew of the Van Halen brothers because we were all in bands that played around the area, you know, and I'd seen them play a couple of times. And it was actually through a mutual friend of Eddie's and mine that that he had met at going to this junior college, and I knew from high school that he suggested my name when Eddie mentioned to him that they were going to be getting rid of Mark Stone. And so he said, hey, how about Mike, you know, and Eddie knew who I was because we'd actually opened up one show in Pasadena for Van Halen. This was right after Roth had joined the band. So that's kind of like how we all kind of got together. And then Alex gave me a call, and I went and jammed with him, and that was it.
Now, you remember the first time you saw Eddie play?
Yeah. First time I saw him play, we were in high school, or just out of high school, and in the city where I lived, they were having a carnival on the field for the school. And on the weekends, they would have a few local bands play. And it was just the three guys, Eddie, Mark Stone, and Alex. And Eddie was doing the singing also. That's the first time I ever saw him play. And I remember I was just impressed because they played, like, they must have played that whole Who Live at Leeds or whatever, or any of the Clapton Cream stuff they played. Eddie played the Leeds stuff note for note.
Mm.
And, you know, back then when you're a kid like that, that's very impressive to see somebody playing like that.
Yeah, especially they were the three-piece band. And then, you know, obviously, you know, Dave joined and then you joined and off to the races you went. So, well, my condolences, of course. But the record's out right now that we were just talking about, the Lockdown 2020 with Sammy Hagar and The Circle. And, man, I'll tell you what, hopefully you guys get back on stage soon.
You know, we're already making plans. We're not sitting around waiting to see what's going to happen with this thing. You know, whether the plans will happen. You know, unfortunately, this pandemic is, you know, it's going into 2021 here. But we'll be ready to go out, and we'll definitely be coming to Detroit. You know, Detroit Rock City, gotta play.
Of course, man. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Good talking to you, Meltdown.
Thanks, brother. We'll see you.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Like I said in the intro, the radio station I work for, WRIF here in Detroit, turns 50 years old. So I've been going through some old interviews and just a bunch of stuff that I've saved and collected over the year. I'm not like a pack rat or anything like that, but I do save things. I've got tons of pictures. I have a lot of audio, although the latest audio, like, for example, from the past, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years since I've been doing a podcast, is pretty much just on the internet. But I do have some killer stuff that I've just discovered and found. And this is one of them. This is an interview I did with Ozzy back in February of 1999, as the guys from Black Sabbath were actually making their way around the country doing signings at different record stores when their live Black Sabbath record came out right before the turn of the century. So it's kind of interesting to listen back to hear Ozzy talk about his solo career, talk about Tony Iommi, talk about this live album, just all sorts of stuff. So I hope you guys dig this. Like I said, from February of 1999, it's a classic interview with Ozzy on Talkin' Rock.
How you doing, Buzz?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Finally, technology prevails.
How about that? You know, I've been a big fan of yours ever since I was 12, and my friend said, you got to hear this Ozzy guy with Crazy Train. It's unbelievable.
Great,
so
great.
Here we are talking to you many years later. First of all, I guess I can't pick up a magazine or watch a TV without seeing your face on it.
Well, that's showbiz, boy. Now, we've been coming to Detroit very soon to do an in-store, aren't we?
Right, exactly, on Friday.
The record, I want Detroit to break the record for me. I mean, the most I've had at an in-store is about 8,270-something. Do you reckon Detroit could beat that?
I think that Detroit could probably put up a good fight for that one. There's no doubt about that. Now, did you guys start your in-stores last night?
No, tonight we're going to start them in Midnight Madness here in Manhattan.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's what I read tonight. Okay. Well, I saw you on VH1. You're in Penthouse. Of course, the Coast to Coast radio broadcast. You're going to be on David Letterman. Of course, South Park. Who could have missed that with your pal Chef? How'd you get hooked up with the whole Chef thing?
Well, it's all coming. People ask me to do it, and I go, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do anything.
I saw it last night, the Behind the Menu with Chef. And, of course, he played a big part in Black Sabbath's career.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And, of course, the interview with Penthouse, which I thought was really revealing. Saw a couple of nice pictures with you and your kids and all that stuff. What did you think of that interview?
Do you know what? I haven't read it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Well, it's a good interview. Well, listen.
Have you heard the new Sabbath Live album?
Of course I have.
What do you think of it?
I think it's unbelievable. I can't believe all the Sabbath tracks you put on there. Two discs. Did you guys intend to put out a two-disc CD or...?
Well, you know, the record company wanted to do a single disc, but I said, you know, it's a reunion. I want the whole show. That was one whole show.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do any guitar solos, have any breaks. Went straight through, and it was great. It was one of those special nights.
Now, let me ask you about Psycho Man and about Selling My Soul. How'd you guys hook up with writing that? Did you write some of that? Did you guys all get together and meet?
Mainly Tony and I wrote that. We were in the studio mixing down the album, and then they said, have you got anything that you can put on as bonus tracks? And we just looked at each other and said, well, we can have a try. I mean, in a matter of three or four days, we had them written and recorded, and I was amazed. Then Geezer come in with the bass on, then Bill come in and did his drums, and it was great.
Now, when you put out your first single, when you put out your first solo album, there was a lot of nerves and anxiety going about. Is this the same thing with the new Sabbath? I mean, you know...
You know, I'm a bit long in the tooth, though. I mean, no one knows what's going to happen with this album. It's going to be out. Tomorrow's the official release date. I'm very proud of it because the Live at Last album was an unofficial. This is the first official Black Sabbath live album that the original four ever done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if you don't buy it, you should check it out and listen to it.
It must have felt pretty good to go up there on stage with all the guys again, huh? Especially with Bill Ward back, because he wasn't around for some of the Ozfest tour, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, and shortly after that, he had a heart attack. But he's going to be doing the tour. We're going to do an American tour, and we're coming to Detroit in the new year. We start in Phoenix, Arizona, the 31st of December, and we're going to go to about 7 or 8 weeks. So look out for it. It's going to be. I can't wait to play Detroit. Cause that's one of my rock and roll places, you know.
No doubt about it. Now you've done Ozfest for the last couple of years, and of course you brought Sabbath up with that a couple years back. What are you going to do next year? Is this going to be like a Sabbath fest? Is it going to be Ozfest?
No, it's going to be a Sabbath tour. Try and do another album, either with Sabbath or myself, or I'm definitely going to be another Ozfest. I'm sure it is.
Man, I guess you got questions abound as to what to do. Continue your really excellent solo career.
Well, after all these years, the one thing I'm really happy about is that we're all friends again.
Mm-hmm.
And if the time arises that we all feel good in the right frame of mind to do a Black Sabbath album, great. But I would not want to do a Sabbath album just for the sake of doing the Sabbath album. It would have to be pretty damn good, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, people are really calling and lighting up the phones here about Psycho Man, so you got to be happy about that.
Great, great, great.
Now, tell me about the, what is this? You guys are inducted into the Hall of Fame, or you guys are nominated to be inducted, or what's the deal with that for next year?
Well, we're nominated to be inducted, but you know they ain't going to pick us, because Paul McCartney, with the roster that's been up against, I really find it unlikely that it's the second time we're nominated. But I ain't too worried. I mean, just to be nominated is one thing. One day when we're dead and buried, they'll probably nominate us.
Now, when Sabbath first came out, of course, you guys were going against the norm, not a whole lot of radio playing stuff. Do you think that this is kind of like Ozzy and Black Sabbath getting their payback with finally the induction into Black Sabbath becoming such a success?
Well, I don't give a damn either way, you know. I just carry on. I mean, we never played music for the critics or the press. We played it or the industry. We played it for the people. We're a people's band, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the people, how does Black Sabbath and Ozzy remain so relevant after all these years when there's bands that you probably played with back in the 70s that nowadays couldn't sell out a bar? And here Black Sabbath and Ozzy are...
I honestly don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure glad it's happening to me.
Because you go to an Ozfest and you see everyone from a 14-year-old to a 50-year-old, you know, at Ozfest checking out Ozzy.
That's great.
So, well, Ozzy,
it
man...
It warms the cockles of my old black heart.
Hey, speaking of that, you're still not smoking, are you?
No, I am smoking again.
Oh, you are smoking. I saw you at Ozfest over the summer there. I quit a month ago. It's a hard thing to do, huh?
It's the hardest thing. I quit everything, but I can't put them damn cigarettes. I stopped for about a month, 2 months, and I start again, and I stop again, and I start again. It's like, one day, if you keep chipping at it, I'll give in, you know.
I was going to ask you, which was harder, quitting smoking or drugs and alcohol? And probably smoking, huh?
Without any shadow of doubt.
Now, I'll tell you what, I quit with that Nicorette stuff.
I've got the Nicorette, I've got hypnosis, I've got voodoo, I've got everything.
Man, unbelievable. Well, your solo career sold millions of records, of course, Sabbath.
I haven't stopped my solo career. I'm just doing this Sabbath thing because of public demand, and I'm either going to do a Sabbath thing, but eventually I'm going to do an Ozzy album.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sabbath, you put out 8 records in the 70s with Sabbath, and can you believe how much of an inspiration you've been to some of these bands coming out? Say, everyone from Zombie to Pantera, Monster Magnet, the list is endless of bands that you've influenced.
It's every day, it's another band.
Mm-hmm. What's the best Sabbath cover you've heard from a band, like from a Metallica or something?
I think the Cardigans version of Iron Man.
Really? Now, some people have said that's a pretty unusual cover, but that's your favorite, huh?
The reason why it's my favorite is so... I thought they were taking the piss out of me when they
did. Now, did I read correctly that you were actually in a bar when they were doing that song? Did you see them in a bar?
I was in a club in LA, and I thought, no, it can't be. And Sharon said, I've got a surprise for you. And they said, Has he lost me?
Was there ever a time when you were doing your solo career that you had thought and maybe hoped that Tony Iommi would put an end to Black Sabbath, or are you glad he just kept it going the whole time?
Well, there was a point when I thought, well, he should put it on the shelf, but, you know, that's, you know, way by the wayside now. Yeah, he didn't, and we're back together again, so...
So I guess in the end, you're happy that he always kept it going.
Well, no, I'm not really happy that he kept it going, but he owns a name, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Ozzy, man, thanks for taking your time out and talking with us. Of course, Friday out there at Harmony House down in Taylor and Telegraph. You guys doing a whirlwind tour this week, signing autographs in all sorts of cities, huh?
I tell you what, man, you've got to be, there got to be 8,472.
Now, did you sign 8,472 autographs?
I absolutely did.
Did you really?
And I will be there till the end. As many people come, I'll be there.
So we're looking for 9,000 here in Detroit at least.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ozzy, good luck to you. We'll see you on Friday, okay?
All right, God bless.
And there you have it, a classic interview with the one and only legendary Ozzy Osbourne. Like I said, that interview was in February of 1999. The record came out in October of 1998, the Black Sabbath reunion record, if I have my dates correct. I'm pretty sure I do. But, you know, some of this stuff gets a little fuzzy math sometimes. But, hey, hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Talkin' Rock. Like I said, flashing back with Ozzy and, of course, the legendary Michael Anthony. Two legends on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. And I'll do this periodically throughout the year this year as I've unearthed some pretty cool stuff. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. And we'll do it all over again real soon. I've already got the hooks in the water for some interviews coming up next week. Thank you guys so much for listening.
There you go, Mikey. Take that.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.